Welcome to MGO Podcast 11.4. How are you doing this morning? I'm doing well. Yes, I am well. All right, so I read a book during most of the second half. Like, I had an eye on the game, and then, like, commercials, of which there were a plentitude.
So many.
Is this, like, the Florida State guy read a book?
I don't know.
Not as much of a tan as that.
So it was...
Did you have a shirt on?
Yes. It was a Margaret Atwood book called Oryx and Crake.
So real uplifting, you know? Setting the mood.
Well, have you read this book?
No,
okay.
But I'm familiar with the
there's like a it's like a post apocalyptic world where everybody melts because of an Ebola like disease.
And I kept
thinking to myself, but there's no football. Like the main character is like thinks he's the only like actual human person left, and he's like going slowly insane. And I feel that if that happened and the last person left was a Michigan fan, they would be pretty sane for a long
relatively
period of time.
Relatively sanguine about the whole situation.
Because it's just like
relieved?
Well, it's just like, you know, I guess all of society went away, but I'm okay with that.
I'm ready for the withdrawal from society bit.
Right, yeah. It's just like, yeah, I know that I watched my family melt.
So you have to watch?
I know that I'm subsisting off canned sardines for the rest of my life. I know that I'll never know the touch of a woman. But college football isn't happening anymore. So I'm okay.
No longer have to think about fluck.
Indeed, which is not quite a swear.
And incredibly, we haven't broken that seal yet.
You should tell people about your hat.
I am wearing a hat with the Arby's logo on it that just says nothing in place of Arby's.
Is that officially licensed?
That is the Nihilist Arby's official hat.
So when did you buy your Nihilist Arby's official hat?
This summer. I was preparing for football.
So you're
season.
Planning. Okay. All right.
So, but the problem is like, why does Nihilist Arby's have merch?
That is a good question.
Right?
They should.
They shouldn't have merch.
They should not.
But.
But it, you know. I needed something for today, and this works extremely well.
Yeah, I'm glad that everybody listening to the podcast can see you in your finery.
Yeah, you know, you got to
It's a very visual podcast.
Yes.
All right, so we were trying to be like, oh, what would you talk about for this game? It's a short list of stuff. So we're going to start off with kind of the
sponsors.
That's right.
We're going to start off
That's
with the sponsors.
We
are taping live at the Residence in Ann Arbor downtown. Our presenting sponsors are the Bow Store and Underground Printing. Our other sponsors are Homeshare Lending, the Residence in Ann Arbor downtown, University of Michigan Alumni Association, Peak Wealth Management, Human Element, Michigan Law Grad, the Phil Klein Insurance Group, Fuego Box, Ann Arbor Law, and Perrin Brewing. This, of course, is MGO Podcast 11. I've been doing this for 11 years. Four.
Spot on today.
Whatever, man. That's it. You know, whatever, man. So, you know, I get down to like 28-0 in this game, and I'm like, okay, that's it. This is okay.
I mean, yeah, it was just like, all right, so that's how this year's gonna go. I guess is one of those.
It's I don't know if it's just this year. Or it's just like. Okay, this is what it is.
Like, we've hit the ceiling of Michigan football.
Oh, not necessarily the ceiling, or just like, I don't, like, you know, you come into the season with expectations, but now it's like really easy to let them go. It's just like, oh.
If Michigan football has taught us anything recently, it's that past results maybe don't actually indicate future results, and you should just stop giving a shit.
Well, okay, so the crazy thing is, Someone mentioned this online somewhere, and I looked it up, and they were, and it's actually worse than they said it was. So Michigan has failed to cover the spread by at least 2 touchdowns in 6 consecutive games.
That's bad.
Oh, wow.
So going back to the Indiana game last year where they were 28.5-point favorites and had to go to overtime, then they get clunked by Ohio State, then they get clunked by Florida, then... All right, the
kind of mess around with the
Middle Tennessee one is a little bit of a
fudge,
and then Army happens,
is a near disaster,
and then this is 35-0 before Michigan wins the second half.
Starts trying to move the ball.
My brother texted me that after the game, and I almost disowned my brother.
Well, you know, I was trying to come up with like my cute tweet about like, okay, so they won the first half, we won the second half, why aren't we in overtime? And then I was like, nope, I'm just going to read this post-apocalyptic Margaret Atwood novel.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened in the fourth quarter for the most part because I was busy writing the game recap.
Well, you do because they started the chuck it up and pray offense, which worked. But that's another segment. This is a segment more about, like, what now?
I mean, as disastrous as that was, I think you got to at least wait and see how, like, Michigan State goes before you go, like...
Before what?
Before the conversation of, like, we have to, like, move on from this coaching staff.
No, it's not going to happen.
Like that they're not going to move on from him?
That's news to, like, every reader of this site.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen.
I'm totally with you. I think it, and I also think it'd be kind of insane because, you know, if you can't get Jim Harbaugh to work at Michigan, then what is going to work at Michigan?
So we're coming down to it's a Michigan problem.
It's always been a Michigan problem.
I mean, yeah.
So go back.
How many coaches in a row do you have to miss on before?
Well, go back to the dying days of the Carr regime.
Right.
Where Carr hangs on for a season he should not be hanging on for because he's trying to install Mike frickin' DeBoer as the head coach.
Okay.
So you have this layer of dysfunction, which ends with like Alex Mitchell coming back to the team, starting against Ohio State. Michigan has under 100 yards of total offense in that game. You know, you're a 5-star quarterback who brought in, like, immediately transfers afterwards. Well, I guess he waited until Richard showed up, but, I mean, they put all their eggs in that basket.
Sure.
And it blew up in their face. They bring in Richrod after a weird search.
The weird is generous.
And the way Richrod goes down is, like, they do it in secret. They meet at, like, a Chick-fil-A in Toledo. There's not, like, a whole lot of...
transparency.
Right, and then he comes in, and pretty much immediately the program starts eating itself from within. And he goes 3-9 in the first year because all of his skill position players are freshmen. He's got a choice between Stephen Three and a walk-on at quarterback. He's got a total of 7 offensive linemen on the roster.
Right.
So just the arrogance of Michigan sets Rodriguez up to fail. Rodriguez then proceeds to fail. They bring in Brady Hoke, about which I don't think anybody needs to say anything. I mean...
No.
Clearly in over his head guy who had no business sniffing the Michigan job. Didn't have any business sniffing like the Oregon coordinator job.
They hired
him a coordinator for a year.
It didn't go great.
And they were like 120th at like S&P Plus. I don't know if it was that bad, but it was pretty bad.
It was real bad.
And then everybody got fired. So they brought in that guy. And then he gets fired. Harbaugh comes in. Hooray, we're going to get this done. And then still nothing. So, I don't know, man. It's, you know.
I mean, they're better than they were under Brady Hoke.
They are. I mean, they've come pretty close to actually having a satisfying football season here and there.
So, have we come, like, essentially full circle as to, like, we're basically what we were in the late Carr era?
No.
No, those teams good.
they were good?
I mean, I don't know, like.
Kind of.
Well, that's what I mean, kind of, and that's what I feel like. Michigan's
2006 was pretty much the same script, right? Like as last year, you go into
So I guess maybe we have kind of
actually
full
it's exactly the same script because they have like the scare against Ball Frickin' State before the Ohio State game, which they lose. Then they lose the bowl game, and then it's like pack it in, everybody. It's time to So
I guess you just see other programs around the country rise and fall, and some of them rise to other levels you probably never assumed. And obviously there are hidden, deeper reasons why those things are happening, but you just makes you wonder, why can't we figure some of this out?
I don't know. But what's clear, I mean, Harbaugh's put up some like top five S&P plus teams that don't get the job done at the end of the year. But if you're looking predictively, you have to focus on the quality of the team and not the fact that, you know, JT was or was not short.
Right.
So, like, this looks like Harbaugh's worst team in
his career.
Well, his first, like, Stanford teams were pretty.
Okay, but
he had a rough scene to inherit there.
But if you put some of these players on that team.
But, like, relative to expectations, surely, I mean, who's the most disappointing team in the country? Michigan? Because nobody really expects Tennessee to do anything, right?
Like, no, that we just point and laugh at Tennessee.
So it's us, again. I mean.
So, but then now you're talking about, like, the stat you said about against the spread is kind of like, okay, so. They like, is that have anything to do with people wanting to bet or not bet Michigan because there are a lot of Michigan fans that can sort of artificially move the line?
There's nothing, no betting against Michigan strategy is moving a line two touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's true.
You might get a point or two,
but wildly missing is.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, so that's a solid half season of Michigan being two touchdowns worse than expectations. And two touchdowns in S&P plus is like, 60 spots.
It's a lot.
Once you get past like the Alabama Clemson level, once you get down to like 10 to 70, that's like two touchdowns worth of. So Michigan has been obviously the most disappointing team in the country over the past six games and looks set to continue that. Although I think the betting lines
will shrink a little.
Might start pitching up.
And you have to think about what happened to the betting line in this game. Michigan was a touchdown favorite against Wisconsin.
In the summer.
In the summer.
Yeah, it already moved quite a bit.
And then it moves 10 points to Wisconsin, and Michigan fails to cover that by 18 points. So
after a freaking bye week.
Granted, Wisconsin had one too, but that doesn't necessarily explain sort of what they were doing in that bye week.
No, I don't know what they were doing.
Like, you remember that 2013 tackle over thing that Borges did
in
the bye week against Minnesota?
Yes, and it worked for 1 week.
Against Minnesota.
And then it was
he kept doing it.
Against Penn State.
And that was a 27 for 27 mm-hmm. game, where, like, this gimmick that had never been tried before, like, as a base offense.
As a base offense.
Like, he's like, well, what if the tight
Speaking
end
Speaking of gimmicks
is the right
as base offenses, how about we just throw it up to the giant receivers?
All right, well, that's, again, we're trying to, like, have the 1,000-foot view.
I know.
Here. You just keep coming back to this.
Yeah.
It's okay. Think about your hat. You'll feel better.
Well,
it's working.
Yeah,
maybe
good.
Not.
No, he's got a very appropriate hat on.
Sure, I don't know.
In times like these, we have to grasp for the things that we can grasp for, like cans
nothing.
Of sardines.
Like nothing.
Well, he's got a hat that says nothing,
okay.
Which is not nothing.
Which is...
It's something, the hat that says nothing.
It's something that represents nothing.
Yes, but it is something that represents nothing. And
both just said that.
He has a pride in which in that he has appropriate sartorial configuration. He looks proud.
It's a very visual podcast.
Very visual podcast. But like, so I think we're stuck with Harbaugh. I think Harbaugh is not the coach that he used to be.
Yeah. So that's something that people have been saying too. And maybe that's, I don't know, hot take here or there. But do you miss old ranting, screaming, throwing things, Harbaugh?
I mean, I don't think that's what did it.
I miss organized Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's in the NFL for 15 years, right?
Yeah.
That takes a toll.
So you think he's just kind of fading away?
I mean, so if you go back and you look at, like, kind of the personnel deficiencies that led to Michigan running out, you know, exactly two defensive tackles and not being able to rotate at all. You know, that kind of goes back to the recruiting class from 2 years ago. And also, this also affects the secondary, where they're just airballing on everybody. And, you know, at the time, all right, it's like, okay, we got to fire our recruiting coordinator for the third time or the second. I don't remember. But they've gone through three recruiting coordinators. You know, they changed up their S&C guy. That, like, it's just a constant churn. It's not like you have a program that's, like, set and knows what it's doing. You know, we're still 5 years into this and we have a first year offensive coordinator, and not because, like, the other offensive coordinator went away
became head coach,
right? Like, because the other offensive coordinator
and it's a first year first time offensive
yeah.
coordinator.
Actually, he did become a head coach, but in the XFL, so slightly different situation. And then they lose Jed Fish to essentially an identical position at UCLA.
Yeah, that was disconcerting. And then same with Wheatley?
Wheatley was here for 1 year and then like...
2 years, right?
1 year. 1 year, and then Harbaugh offered him a contract that was less than his current contract, which is like a go-away thing. Yeah. So
yeah, there was a lot of worry about those guys not necessarily seeing eye to eye about how to do things.
Right, and it's one thing if it's Bo and you've got these guys and they're yelling at each other, but they're like sticking around the program for a long time. But it kind of feels like Harbaugh's been so abrasive that they can't really keep people around. I guess this applies mostly to the offensive side of the ball. Like you've had Down Brown since Durkin left after year one. You've had Partridge the whole time.
You've had Zordich.
Zordich mostly the whole time.
Pretty much the whole time.
And like, you know, losing Madison to a DC job at Ohio State is not chaos, right? It's just like, okay, they're going to triple his salary. That's fine. But on the offensive side of the ball, you have Tim Drevno who comes in and goes. You have the single year where you've got Greg Fry.
And Tim Drevno.
You have, you know, Jim McElwain comes in for a year to be the wide receiver coach for no reason.
And now he's a head coach?
Yeah. So you just have this, like, rotating cast. There's no consistency. And, you know, you bring in Gattis and you hand him the keys and it's like, whoa. Like,
but we weren't, were we concerned about that? It seemed like we were kind of like, weren't you predicting their offense was going to be?
Yeah, but it was something that looked good on paper. And
right. You certainly weren't alone in thinking that Michigan was going to have an explosive offense like three, when you like, look at the personnel.
Right.
And 3 games in, it's just like, what are we doing? Like the Army game plan where they can't get their quarterback a keep the whole time is just like, I mean, you come up minus 10 and RPS against Army, and it's like, okay, that's a red flag. And then they come in this game and they do what they do in this game, and it's like, all right, we have problems. And the thing that really stuck out about the Army game is, okay, Army's running all this stuff that's supposed to blow up the arc read. They blow up the arc read, and they run split zone 3 times. And it's not like split zone is a trick play.
It's
not
no.
Like,
it's the counter to it.
Well, it's
a variation.
I mean, the arc is the thing that developed off the split zone, so
right.
If you're not running split zone, then what are we doing here? So I just, I don't know. Kind of feels like Michigan took a swing there, and that was a bad bet. What did Maryland do this week in the constant? They were on a bye.
I think they were off.
So that's point Maryland.
Yep. Decided edge.
So I feel like we're stuck with Harbaugh.
Forever.
And,
forever?
Yeah. And like he's going to have some decent teams. Going to usually win a fair number of games. And then we're just going to be stuck in this sort of purgatory where it's like, it's all right most of the time, but we're going to be more 8-4, 9-3 popping up. And Ohio State's just going to beat our head in every year.
Cool.
And there's really nothing that we can do to change that.
Okay. If you wanted to change it, what would you do?
What would I do?
Sure.
I told you about the book I read, right?
You did. We've discussed it a lot.
I don't know. So you look out there and it's like, okay, who's the slam dunk hire? And there isn't one. Like Ohio State had to hire Ryan Day.
Yeah.
And Ohio State has an institutional culture where they're going to get stuff done even if it's breaking NCAA laws and common decency.
So would your thing be to change the rules of the NCAA?
I mean, that would help, obviously. But like, it's not like Michigan came into this game against Wisconsin with less talent than Wisconsin. So... like,
yeah, I mean, you got to think about, like, what's more likely to hit? Like, Jim Harbaugh putting together a team that finally breaks through or getting through another transition cost with another coach and hitting on that coach? I think you got a better chance with Harbaugh.
Yeah.
As much as it has mostly not panned out so far.
Well, I mean...
It's mostly gone well, but the things that haven't panned out have really not panned out, and this year is a really bad year for things to just not go well at all.
Yeah, and like, you know, a couple of things are not his fault that he inherited from Hoke, like the year when Nolan Olizio and Juwan Bushel-Beatty were the right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the whole sack of cats thing with Drevno.
Or all the quarterbacks.
Right, and you have 3 quarterbacks who play, and they're progressively worse and worse and worse, and it's just like... And that's the thing is, you come in and... Harbaugh has this absolutely stellar track record with quarterbacks. Like, never right. had anybody who didn't develop a ton, both at Stanford, actually at San Diego, and also in the NFL.
His quarterback from San Diego is still in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
And where are we talking about progression with Shea Patterson? In no way whatsoever. So he So maybe that's just Shea. I mean, there was that preseason quote from Gattis about how, like, he spent too much time on the golf course, which is like, you don't hear that very often.
In retrospect, maybe we should have been more alarmed by that.
Well, he immediately followed it up, but like, no, he's been completely on point in fall practice. And I was like, all right, well, if he's completely on point.
Golf as much as you want in your free time, yes, but yeah.
So,
well, and also, like, they were talking about McCaffrey, and McCaffrey has not exactly looked stellar in the moments that he has been in either.
No.
Including in this game before he got
wrecked.
Yeah.
I mean, Harbaugh even said he had a concussion.
Yeah.
Well,
it wasn't hard to diagnose.
Well, and you're just watching this, and you're like, why are these bodies being exposed to this? What is the purpose?
I was advocating for a running clock.
So, yeah, this is where we are. Hooray. I have to write about this for the next 3 months, and I just don't know what to do. Like, what am I supposed to write about this game? It was bad. It was also boring. And I feel like I've done this so many times before. Like, I feel like I'm just repeating myself over and over again because it's like, all right.
Yeah, but you get to fill in new names.
But we just talked about in the last 20 years, or I guess 15 years, that's what sort of this program has done, is kind of come full circle. So
the whole history of the blog is like, all right, maybe this is the guy. Oh, no, he sucks. All right, maybe this is the guy. That guy sucks, too. All right, this is definitely the guy. We just lost.
At least one of those times we didn't get excited about the guy.
That's true. No, actually, because there was the hoax first year.
Yeah.
He goes 11-2, and he's clearly got a horseshoe.
We initially weren't excited about
That's
the guy.
True.
We remained deeply skeptical because there was the whole, like, horseshoe up his ass thing.
Yes, like winning the bowl game with 200 yards of offense.
And that had been a meme, like, all through that year, too. It was not just created for that game, I don't think.
No.
No, the comeback against Notre Dame probably started that.
I remember sitting in the stands at Notre Dame 3 quarters into that game saying, like
This is
I know we only have 80 yards of offense, but at least we look stupid too.
Oh, I forgot those jerseys.
Yeah. I just.
Well, at least we no longer look stupid. We just don't play well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Michigan's back, baby.
Or we've just always been here.
Oh no. Murder Wolf inversion. Now Murder Wolf is murder wolfing us.
I mean, that's how those movies end.
Is it? I thought I was... Never mind.
Should we talk about...
Can we end this segment?
I don't know.
Yeah, let's...
Is there something else to talk about?
This segment is over.
Stop.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go! Let's go!
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
It's painless, it's online, it's group ordering made easy for your next custom printed apparel order. Pogo from Underground Printing takes the aggravation out of custom printing for a group. Whether you're selling shirts for a fundraiser, organizing a large event, or trying to collect sizes and payment for a family reunion, Underground Printing is here to help. Save time and hassle every step of the way with our easy-to-use site. No more guessing what to order, chasing people down to pay, or wasting time trying to sort out who needs what. We'll set it up and you can just sit back and relax. We can even take care of individual shipping. To learn more about Pogo, visit us at any of our convenient locations or at pogo.undergroundshirts.com.
This is Matt Demrest, the owner of Homesure Lending. We're a local mortgage company here to help you purchase with confidence and refinance with ease. People don't get mortgages very often, so it can be confusing. We'll break down every single line item so that it all makes sense. And at the end of the day, if we're not giving you the best deal, we'll tell you to go with the other company. We're here to offer our simple mortgage guidance.
This is Seth Fisher from MGO Blog. Over the years, we've sent dozens of readers to use Homesure Lending, and every review that's come back has been raving. I myself used them to refinance after doing our original loan through our bank. I was amazed how much smoother the process was for our company. complicated loan. Brian used them. You should use them too.
Finding out whether it makes sense or not to refinance or getting pre-approved to buy a new home is easy. Head over to homesurelending.com. That's H-O-M-E-S-U-R-E lending.com/mgoblog to find out more. Or call us at 734-531-9950. That's 734-531-9950. I've got two of my favorite people here with me. Kind of an annual tradition. Cooper and Colby. Cooper, how old are you?
11.
Colby, how about you?
9.
Can I get a Go Blue?
Go Blue!
NMLS number 1161358, Equal Housing Lender.
Why do you do what you do? I grew up in the small town of Hazlitt, Michigan, and I witnessed great people I care about making a lot of poor financial decisions. I thought to myself, I never want to be in that position, putting my retirement at risk. Now we want to make sure that your retirement is not at risk. And by providing education and guidance, we inspire our clients to make great decisions, putting them on a path to be able to retire with confidence. I'm Nick Hopwood, CFP, President and Founder at
Peak Wealth Management.
And that's my why.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout-out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn, Ann Arbor, downtown.
All right, so now we're going to talk about the offense. Is this better?
Is the offense put in scare quotes?
No.
It should be.
All right, is the offense better? I put up air quotes.
There
Very
we go.
Visual podcast.
No, it's not better. I don't feel any better.
All right, so the first thing I wrote down is it was bad. And then the weirdest thing is that, like, they didn't even try to run. Whole game?
It was like, you know, they went in like, oh, well, if Charbonnet can't go full speed, we don't even know. I mean, like, I have no idea whether he can or not because they barely tried anything.
Well, it's clear that the reports that he had surgery were wrong.
Yeah, clearly overstated there.
But I
have no idea if he looks good.
We do know he was hell out of practice on Tuesday and possibly beyond that. So obviously there's something going on. But the thing is, like, you know, Christian Turner may have had a couple of bad blitz pickups in the first couple of games, but he also looked really good running the ball. Mm-hmm. He gets 6 carries in this game. And that was by far the most of any running back. Like, Hassan Haskins got 1.
Charbonnet got 2.
Hassan Haskins got hit deep in the backfield.
Sure, but whatever. That was, like, right at the end of the game.
Ben Mason got a carry.
Ben Mason got a carry.
John Runyon got a carry.
was it a carry or was it a catch?
I mean, that's your file. That
it
is
was a carry.
Catch.
It was a backwards pitch.
Was it?
Which is why it was legal.
It was forward and they flagged it.
Yeah.
No, they picked it up. They picked up the flag.
Really?
I was actually paying attention to it.
Okay, so I...
Because it was very funny.
I wasn't paying attention. So I guess...
It's in the box score. He had a negative 9-yard rush. Right.
Yeah, it is.
So, and that was just the strangest thing because, you know, Wisconsin comes into this game with a choice between either playing a nose tackle who's a true freshman or 2 defensive ends as their defensive tackles.
And it seemed pliable, especially against Michigan's interior line.
Well, and then, you know, late in the game when McCaffrey's in, they are running it straight up the gut with Turner, and he's getting 5 yards a pop. He's getting 6 yards a pop, but he's not actually even making anything happen. This happened twice.
Okay.
So late in the game, McCaffrey's in, and they give 2 first down runs to Turner, and they're 5 and 6 yards, and it's not like he broke a tackle.
Right.
They just ground that defense down the field for 5 or 6 yards. And I'm like, what?
Maybe do this earlier.
Well, so I support them throwing the ball because they've got these great receivers.
Sure.
But it seems crazy to go from, you know, we're going to run most of the time to, like, we're literally going to have like 10 running back carries in a game. Like,
place.
You got to have some balance because then they're just teeing off on you once they realize that you're not ever going to run the ball. Like
it was also 14-0 very quickly.
Yeah, but it's the first half, right? Like, so.
Yeah, if you have to shelve your offense at that point, then.
So clearly they just went into this game like, I don't know if they were expecting they wouldn't be able to run. I don't know why you would think that against the personnel that Wisconsin has. And then it's just all Patterson. And, you know, he does some things like he escapes the pocket, gets the bell on the first drive and is able to, you know, hurl the ball downfield some. I thought, but we again have this issue where like he has all day in the pocket and he just can't find anybody. And I don't understand.
And it's not just because guys were like, Nico Collins was openly frustrated at the end of the game because he wasn't getting hit when he was like open.
Yes. I don't think it's because there aren't open receivers.
I mean,
maybe on some plays, but not on all of them.
They're not always scheming guys open, but Patterson isn't always hitting them when they are.
Right, and then we see this kind of period at the end of the game where it's like, all right, screw it, punts.
And they were
touchdowns.
And like literally all of them work except for a really weak offensive pass interference call on Nico, which super weak.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was. And like if you're going to call that and you're not going to call the pass interference on the Tariq Black drop in the end zone where he's getting held the whole time.
Grabbed,
like,
yeah.
And despite the end of game arm punt-a-thon, Nico Collins finishes this game with 5 targets.
Well, it probably
That doesn't include the multiple pass interference plays he drew, but that's still just... Michigan was playing from behind this whole game. How
right.
was that number not bigger?
And chuck it up and pray works. And if it's not going to work, the way it's not going to work is you have to bracket him.
And then people are really wide open.
And then something else is happening, right? Yes. So like...
I mean, like, okay, semi-serious question. Is Michigan better off with Jane Coast and offensive coordinator in this game?
I can't say no.
That's what I thought.
I mean, they were just throwing the ball all the time. And so the thing is it took you deep into your third game in, like, who cares time to actually chuck the ball downfield at your giant...
Just try it.
Yeah, just to chuck the ball downfield at your... Like, these were the first genuine...
Chucks. They threw deep balls a couple of times before, but these were like, all right, go make a play throw.
And these were the first chucks in Nico Collins' career. Like, he had a couple goal line fades against Ohio State, but I didn't clip him in a,
so deeply
in
impressive.
A jump ball situation in all last year, and he didn't get any in the first two games. I mean, I guess he had the one, but there was a pass interference on Army. So, like, the fact that you aren't trying to do this, and you're I don't know what you're doing with, like, all hitches and all this stuff. And so, very frustrating, and that's, like, the whole game, because they didn't run the ball.
Nope.
And Patterson couldn't find guys until chuck it time. So I was like, all right. Oh, they did. They had a screen that worked to Eubanks. It was essentially a bubble screen. Mm-hmm. But it was the two guys, like the slot guys covered up formation.
Yeah.
So they ran it. And it's like the guy was like cheating inside because it's like, all right, yeah, got some yards there. Good job. And then they ran it again. And it didn't work.
Surprise.
Well, I was like, yeah, because your options are limited when you have that. So, but it worked once.
Yeah.
They got a first down off of it, mm-hmm. and I was like, all right, now we have a first down.
Wasn't on third down, though, because they didn't convert one of those.
Yeah, I saw that pop up, and I was like, oh,
Nick Eubanks, tied for second on the team in targets.
With?
Tariq Black, actually.
Really?
But they're three behind Ronnie Bell, who had 2 catches on 9 targets.
Well, he had 3 catches on 9 targets.
Yeah, he sure did.
3 catches on 9
was
targets.
Was it? Didn't it was the ball move?
No.
There was, like, there was one where
they brought in Mike Pereira, and Pereira said if they had called it the other way, he would have reversed it to a catch.
Hmm. Wow.
Well.
So
was I the only one paying attention to the broadcast? I know you were at the game. I know David was at the game. And was I the only one listening to the people talking on the broadcast?
I mean, to be fair, when it gets bad, I usually just mute it.
Yeah, but that was before, like, total B-pone time.
No, it wasn't.
That was early.
It wasn't that early.
Brian's a
I guess Wisconsin had already scored a touchdown. Did that just instantly plunge you into B-bone?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it looked pretty bad.
So you think that the Mason fumble is,
I mean,
whatever.
On a replay, he takes like a shot directly to like the ball with a helmet. And then so that jars it a little bit. And then he takes another shot directly to the helmet. I mean, directly to the ball with the helmet. And it's just like, I mean, before this happens, he's got...
So, hooray, it was just awful luck.
He's got both hands on the ball, and he's, like, compressing it. Like, he's not like he's holding it way out or doing
waving
anything
it around.
Stupid. Like,
yeah. Okay. I mean,
it's cool. We're just cursed by the fumble gods.
I mean, but also, like, we're running Ben Mason on 2nd and 7, like, second goal from a 7.
Yeah, this wasn't the spot that we were asking for Ben Mason.
Like, I want Ben Mason to get exactly 2 yards, and if you get 2 yards on...
Also, speaking of, like, we misorganized Harbaugh, like, they had to burn a timeout just to get that personnel grouping on the field.
Yeah.
After the Bell 70-yard play or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, I got mad in the second half because Wisconsin started taking timeouts, and I was like, ugh. Now it's, like, just something that happens to football teams instead of an example of how incredibly disorganized Michigan is. So that's where I was, getting mad because Wisconsin was throwing flaws. Yes. That's the noise. That's the noise. Well, you've got to look.
I mean, I don't really know what to say. I feel like...
Do we have other offense thoughts?
So how about calling the timeouts on defense to get the ball back at the end of the game and then bringing out your NFL wide receivers with Joe Milton?
Whatever.
That's kind of weird.
They need targets.
I feel like those are mixed messages.
Yeah, probably. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and talk about the defense.
You might be investing on your own or working with another advisor, but how would you grade your results? I'm Nick Hopwood, CFP, founder and president,
Peak Wealth Management,
in Plymouth. For over 20 years, we've been working with institutional strategists, putting together low-cost portfolios which match your risk tolerance. If you have over $500,000 in your portfolio, you should consider a second opinion. You can connect with us online and schedule an appointment at peakwm.com.
Peak Wealth Management.
Retire with confidence.
Want the perfect game day outfit? Underground Printing has unique, great-fitting UM apparel and officially licensed apparel from legendary Michigan names like Woodson, Howard, Schembechler, Ufer, and more. UGP also specializes in custom-printed apparel and promotional items for groups, events, and businesses. Whether you need one shirt as a gift or 1,000 shirts for a charity walk, Underground can customize almost anything for groups large or small. To learn more, visit Underground Printing at one of our 3 convenient locations around Ann Arbor or online at undergroundshirts.com.
If you find yourself on the wrong side of the law in Ann Arbor or around Metro Detroit, you want a Michigan man in the huddle. Call former prosecutor and now criminal defense attorney Jonathan Paul at 248-924-9458 or visit his website, michiganlawgrad.com.
Are you planning a business trip, a Michigan reunion, or a revenge tour in Ann Arbor and don't want to be stuck out by I-94? Look no further than the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown. Positioned at the corner of Huron and Ashley, the hotel is just a block from Main Street and a short walk to Michigan Stadium and Central Campus with all the amenities you expect. Also, we podcast here most Sunday mornings, so if you let us know you're coming, we'll let you put a shout out on the pod. That's the Residence Inn Ann Arbor downtown.
Passion for e-commerce.
Sell stuff online.
Security. Performance.
Conversion.
Beautiful user experiences.
Belle expérience utilisateur.
Monthly marketing.
PPC SEO.
Make your user a customer.
Conversion.
Eau de Parfum for online retailers. Love your website. Let Human Elements show you how. Available at human-element.com and find department stores, not find department stores.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
All of my life, waiting for you, just to be by your side, just to see it through. And you'd call my name, but what would you say if you knew my place? Then who are you? Oh, and you come
So this edition should be especially spicy. Our Fuego Box hot takes of the week should be spicy, incredibly so.
Yeah.
All right, Ace, what is your hot take?
I'd say they devote at least 60% of every practice from here on out to preparing for the Ohio State game.
Okay.
One game season.
All right.
So that's
I don't even know if that's hot, but...
You're saying that they should do, yeah. Not that they will.
I don't think that
I don't think they're going to do that because that would be somewhat insane, but...
It's a hot take!
But, yeah, at this point, one game season it.
I feel like they should be prepping for Michigan State because they could win
that
game.
It's just going to be a rock fight anyway.
I know, so, but, like, I'd rather... I'd rather...
And Michigan State breaks out a whole new offense every year
I know,
anyway.
But
so
what,
just
but, you know,
prep for Ohio State's offense, and maybe that's what they'll run. Who knows?
All right, Craig, Dave.
Craig,
Dave.
Okay. Mine is not predictive, but I was going to say that Michigan's going to lead the nation in lost fumbles.
Okay. That is a spicy hot take. My spicy hot take is this is... What?
Is it a hot take? Aren't we on pace?
I know, but...
Reversion to the mean does not exist.
All right. My hot take is this is all my fault.
Oh, jeez.
Look at the history of Michigan football since the founding of MGO Blog. Straight downhill the whole time.
It hasn't been great.
You are very powerful.
I have covered one win over Ohio State, and that was like the one that didn't even count.
Yeah.
Because it was like Luke Fickell.
Yeah, because you started in 2004, right?
Right. The first game I covered was the Vince Young Rose Bowl. The evidence is incontrovertible. I gotta go.
We gotta blow it all up.
I gotta go.
What do we gotta do with you?
What?
Well, you said you gotta go. What are we gonna do with you?
Oh.
To cleanse this.
Make him start blogging about Ohio State, obviously.
What if I like it? Oh, no. No, I think I'll become...
No, you'll ruin them.
Maybe I'll like be a daddy blogger. Oh, no, I can't do that.
Just ruin children.
Maybe I'll be like a daddy blogger for your worst enemy. Like, if you have a nemesis, I'll start posting about their kids, and then they'll grow like warts on their nose.
Weren't you going to try to start a USMNT blog?
Yeah, but it's just the same thing, right?
Then they miss the World Cup.
they have this rival, and they have this string of success over the rival for a long period of time, and now they're like losing 3-0 where they can't touch the ball. It's literally the same thing. I am the problem.
And now you're trying to ruin Ann Arbor.
No, that's not.
Yeah, you're trying to get involved in politics, and you're going to like send it into the crapper.
Oh, my God. As soon as I started posting about Ann Arbor politics, these horrible NIMBYs who can't even spell their own names got elected.
Brian's
look at his face
right now.
His face is the best I've ever seen it. I've known you for like 10 years, and this is the...
It is you.
It is me.
It wasn't a hot take.
No, it's got to still be a hot take. But only because this is our hot take segment. Sign up for Fuego Box. They'll send you 3 different hot sauces every month so you can explore the nether reaches of your tongue. Go to FuegoBox.com. Use the code MGOBLOG10 for $10 off. All right, so the defense...
is extant.
Yikes.
Hey, they only had 128 yards passing.
Yeah, on like 15 attempts.
Yes, I know. Sarcasm.
16, of which you completed 13.
13.
Because that's really all they needed when they can run for 359 yards.
Jesus.
On 57 carries.
Jesus.
Everybody in the press box was getting excited because Taylor was out. Oh, but Taylor's out. I just started yelling at people. They don't need him.
I mean, he was significantly better than that Watson dude who had 13 carries for 31 yards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So actually, when you take it out, Michigan's performance was way worse. But at least they don't have to go against Jonathan Taylor every week.
Well, and part of it was just the fact that like they weren't fitting the run at all.
No.
Like Jonathan Taylor's like long touchdown run, before he even made the cut, I'm like, we don't have a force player.
No, because they motion pre. They were doing a great job of motioning pre-snap and getting Michigan's exchanging defensive backs on the slot guy and, to abandon very large run lanes.
And Hill was responsible for that, I think, and he was also responsible for that bounce run on the first.
Yes, the first he got caught inside.
I thought the touchdown run was Pay, where he crashed way in, but.
I mean, it's probably a combination of yeah. all three. I get to find out this week. That's fun.
Oh, man.
And then it's just like you're getting Groshek, and like it just feels hopeless because Michigan just doesn't have anybody defensive tackle.
Well, yeah, they're lining up Jordan Glasgow head up over a guard on so many snaps, including goal line snaps.
Yeah, the 4th-and-1 QB sneak, you know, Wisconsin calls timeout, and they immediately like, all right, so if they leave a gap over the A gap,
just go.
And Glasgow and the 220-pound weak side linebacker is in a 3-point stance on the line of scrimmage.
Just go with that. Jack Cohn just like walks 7 yards into the end zone.
Also, he was good.
Glasgow?
No, Cohn.
Oh, I mean, he barely threw.
He didn't have to do much, and but then that, he like that ran into. Open acres space.
He shook Aiden Hutchinson on that, I thought. And then the throw that he had down the sideline on 4th down was really, really nice.
I mean,
while he was getting hit.
I mean, yeah, he made a couple of throws.
He had, like, yeah.
But that was, like, pretty much the only throw he had that was more than about 6 yards downfield.
His longest pass in this game went for 26 yards, and I think it was that pass.
It was. And man, that's just another example of Michigan showing man coverage, getting caught in man coverage, getting boned by man coverage. They just don't have the diversity.
They got them in the run game and the pass game.
They just don't have the diversity to deal with it.
It's been a repeated Don Brown criticism, and it's
well, it reminded me of
stuck.
You remember the like Russell Bellamy Nebraska game?
Unfortunately,
all too well.
Well, so basically the identical thing happened in that game. They got trips to the side. Michigan shows press man coverage. Nebraska checks to the sideline, and they check it to a wheel route where the interior wide receiver gets two rubs, and Michigan has no chance, touchdown, and then Russell Bellamy does not lead a stirring comeback.
No.
So it's just, and that was one of the things where I'm like, oh, man, I wish we had one of those offenses where we could check to the sideline and get some easy RPS wins. And it just doesn't ever work out like that, does it, Ace?
No, even though they kind of advertised that we were going to have one of those offenses, like, you know, this year.
That was really built up.
Yeah, and I can't imagine that Michigan isn't going to get RPS'd hard on both ends again.
Why would you think it wouldn't?
Well, they were -10 and -7, and at some point Don Brown like is going up against a triple option against Army. This is easy to write off, but this was just a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, your solution to the fact you don't have any defensive tackles is to pretend Glasgow is a defensive tackle.
No, that's not an option.
And you can't fit the run. So, like,
Which is so weird because usually that's what he prides himself in. I mean, I was at a coaching clinic with him and he was like, you have to stop the run. You can get me with the pass, fine. But if I can't stop your run, then you're going to beat me anyway.
Yeah. And he was correct about that. So basically everything has gone to hell and, I'm at peace with it, you know?
Well, lucky you.
It's just a thing that happens damn near every year.
Hey, so I have, like, insurance and stuff, but I don't really, like, know what's going on with it.
Yeah, your coverage probably sucks, and you're paying way too much for it. And I know this because I had a guy, his name's Phil Klein. He's actually a Michigan alum and wrestled for Michigan. He looked at my insurance, and he was like, yeah, your coverage sucks. And you're paying a lot more than you need to for it.
I also, like, I hesitate to even mention this, but I do have my insurance from a company that advertises during college football games.
Well,
and I wish that was not the case.
Well, why don't you just get it from a cool guy who actually, like, reads MGo Blog?
Well, how would I do that? They have a website?
They have one of those, too. It's philklineinsurance.com. Can you remember the name Phil Klein?
Sure.
Can you remember insurance?
Yes.
Okay. Use those two together. And you will save money on your insurance, and you will actually get better coverage on your home and your auto, and they do life too.
All right. So you're telling me if I Google Phil Klein Insurance, this website will come up?
Yes.
Wonders never cease.
In southeastern Michigan, the yearly cost for a nursing home averages $90,000. It doesn't have to, though. Reed McCarthy founded Ann Arbor Elder Law after handling a tricky situation for his own family. Years of experience later, his boutique firm works with clients across Southeast Michigan dealing with Medicaid planning, long-term care, and tax, disability, and family law, not to mention family dynamics. If you have a family member who may need that level of care, or if you're ready to start your own estate plan, Reed can give you a plan for the future. Visit AnnArborElderLaw.com or call 734-945-9693. That's 734-945-9693.
Let me just tell you a couple things to keep in your mind while you're out there. When we take the field, we're going to win. We've got big goals. We've got big ideas. We've got to win this game, and there is no game on the remainder of our schedule more important than the one you're going down to the tunnel to play today. Now let's go. Let's go.
Underground Printing is proud to present the Bow Store. Visit us at our new location at 333 South Main or online at www.bow.team.
The places you'll go may seem far from Ann Arbor. From San Francisco to St. Louis to Shanghai. But as members of the Alumni Association, we're never far. Because Michigan is more than a place. It's a mindset that connects us. For those who leave Michigan, but for whom Michigan never leaves, this is where you belong. The Alumni Association of the University of Michigan. Join today at umalumni.com.
Not so strong, never made a sound. Our love was on the rock. The day we let it out, nothing going wrong.
Welcome in, Jamie Acker, JustCoverBlog.com. How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing well. Unfortunately, I have a bad case of Michigan football this morning.
Indeed.
So you're not doing well. but you're putting on a brave face.
That's better than we're doing.
Yeah. Extremely true.
All right, Indiana 38, UConn 3.
Woohoo! Go Hoosiers. I mean, Indiana covered with relative ease the point spread. They were favored by 29 points. So the question is, how bad is UConn?
Well,
UConn. we figured that out.
Yeah.
They had 10 drives, UConn did, and not one of them went for more than 29 yards yesterday.
Total yards, 145 yards per play, 2.8.
That's not good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we're done with that one.
I mean, you know. One thing worth mentioning, Indiana kind of struggling on the offensive line, and Coy Crunk went out yesterday with a pretty bad injury, it looked like. And, you know, he's been up and down anyway throughout his career, but they're going to have to go into their bench and see what kind of offensive line depth they have. And I don't think that's going to go well for them, especially with Michigan State next week.
All right, Ohio State 76, not that Miami 5.
No. You know, for six or seven glorious minutes, Miami was up 5-0. Mm-hmm.
They were.
And then they gave up 76 straight points.
Ohio State
like
scored
that.
42 points in the second quarter.
We were in the press conference, and it was on in there. It was 2-0, and Miami was inside the 5 and had first and goal. And someone was like, oh, they're about to score again. And I was like, it's about to be 5-0 on first and goal inside the 5. And then it was. That's pretty much that game.
Cool story, man.
Thanks.
Total yards in this one was 601 to 130. I guess you could probably guess who had 601.
I mean, somebody please step up and give Ohio State a game, just so I can at least feel a little bit better about myself. But right now, I mean, this looks as complete of an Ohio State team as we've seen, you know, and The JT Barrett, they were dominant run, but you get them to pass the ball, and you can throw a wrench in their game plan. You know, last year, record-setting passing, but running the ball was a little dicey, and, you know, for a couple of years, they struggled on defense. All three of those phases are at 10 right now, so.
Awesome, Jamie.
Yeah.
Boston College 30, Rutgers 16. Arthur Sitkowski.
Hello, right? What a day.
Are you sitting down, Ace?
Oh, very much so.
304 yards, 9.2 yards an attempt in a 16-point output.
How do you waste that kind of performance from Arthur Sitkowski?
Well, he threw a pick. They fumbled the ball. There you go.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Also, you just are Rutgers.
It was interesting watching this game, though, because it hung in the balance until BC pulled away in the fourth quarter. And I just kept thinking, is BC going to lose to Kansas and Rutgers in back-to-back weeks? It was on the table there for a while.
Well, congratulations to Boston College.
For not doing
for avoiding probably the worst infamy achievement ever.
Michigan State 31, Northwestern 10. Total yardage in this one was actually 337 to 265, so not actually that far off the, I guess, expectations for what should have been a slugfest, but Northwestern turns the ball over three times, and Michigan State takes advantage.
Yeah, Northwestern just found themselves in terrible down and distance for most of the game, especially early, but for the whole game, 24 of their 81 plays were snapped at second or third down with 9 yards or more. And this is a bigger problem early in the game. 10 of their first 25 plays and 16 of their 41 first half plays were in those down and distances. And that's just obviously not good against Michigan State. And then they opened the first half with three straight three and outs. And then they finally got a first down on the fourth drive of the second half. And they threw a pick right away. So just a terrible performance from their offense. Hunter Johnson just
there's good news and bad news with Hunter Johnson. Completed more than half his passes. Averaged 6 yards. A completion.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, that's just...
And did they pull him or did he get hurt? Because Aiden Smith came in and he was 4 of 11.
Oh, my God.
For 38 yards.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And two picks.
Jesus.
So... Not so much from
he
the
also
Wildcat
completed more than half his passes.
The interceptions are technically not completions.
Yeah.
Who's trying to give them some credit, guys? Come on.
They scored a touchdown towards the end of the game, but they had a chance, a golden chance early in the game for a touchdown after MSU fumbled a punt. And on like fourth and one, or maybe fourth and two from the 2 yard line, they tried to run a speed option. And like the quarterback barely got into his parallel movement across the line of scrimmage before somebody on Michigan State just swallowed him up.
Well,
they just didn't have really anything going yesterday. And then Michigan State tacked on a touchdown at the end of the first half to go up 14-3. And it was just like, that was it. You know, I mean, you just knew the game was over from then. But the only thing really dramatic was the fact that the over-under total was 38.5 and it had bet down all the way to 35. Throughout the week and the morning of game day, and Northwestern, that garbage touchdown I mentioned, that actually pushed it over. And it seemed like everybody on Twitter had the under, so people were freaking out. It was fun to watch that drama play out. I'm not going to lie. It was fun to watch all those people lose on the under. That had a lot to do with the fact that Michigan was getting crushed at the same time. I turn very bitter, and I want company in my misery usually. So,
Speaking of misery, I didn't realize until this week that Drake Anderson is Damian Anderson's son.
Oh, yeah. I knew that already.
Oh, man.
I was not aware. I felt old and sad.
Finally, the game of the week. Nebraska 42, Illinois 38. I don't know how this happened. Nebraska picks up 690 yards of offense. They run 98 plays. Illinois does not crack 300 yards of offense. How is this a game? Four Nebraska turnovers, but how is this a game?
Yeah, well, Nebraska lost 4 fumbles.
Hey, and we got competition.
What's that like?
Yeah, what that did is that set Illinois up on touchdown drives that started at the Nebraska 37, the Nebraska 10, and the Nebraska 14. And those touchdowns made the score 14-0 Illinois, 21-7 Illinois, 35-21 Illinois, the last of which with a little under 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. The rest of the game from there, Nebraska outscored them 21-3. They gained 285 yards on 7.9 yards of play. Meanwhile, Illinois only gained 40 yards rather on the 17 plays they ran on their 4 possessions after they took that 35-21 lead. So they didn't they weren't marching down the field on Nebraska. They were just getting really, really short fields and cashing in on that to the maximum. And, that was pretty much it. So, yeah, Reggie Corbin had a 66-yard rush on their second play from scrimmage to set up a short touchdown run. But other than that, they really couldn't run the football. And Brandon Peters just was terrible yesterday. 9 for 21 for only 78 yards. That's less than 4 yards per pass. He had a long pass of 26 yards, so throw that out the window. And what is that? That's 20 attempts for 52 yards. Meanwhile, Adrian Martinez was great. You know, 327 yards passing. He added a buck 18 on the ground. His 52 dropback and runs combined got 445 yards for 8.5 yards per pop. And Wandell Robinson, their stud freshman, finally broke out. It felt like they were force feeding him some touches early in the season. And they weren't getting anywhere, but yesterday he broke out big time. 28 touches, 186 total yards. They had some injuries, though, to their other running backs. Maurice Washington left the game with concussion, and Vedric Mills left the game with the shoulder injury. Those are their top two running backs. And as good as Robinson was yesterday and as good as Martinez was yesterday, there is a little, you know, without Washington, that there's a big difference in this offense with or without Washington. You'll have to see how his health is going forward. They play Ohio State next week, and game day is going to be there.
Yikes.
Why?
Yeah. I haven't even looked at the schedule yet for next week. Is it that bad that game day has to go to Nebraska, Ohio State?
I'm going to look into this.
There's no good games. We actually discussed this in the offseason. There's no good games that week.
There's no good games any week, apparently.
There's got to be something better than that.
The other thing worth mentioning about Nebraska is they are right now on their third kicker of the season.
Yikes.
And yesterday they had a extra point blocked, and then when they were up 42-38, they were trying to kick a 28-yard field goal to go up by 7, and the third kicker of their season kind of doinked it off the upright. So they gave Illinois a chance, one last chance to go down the field and take a lead, but 4 incomplete passes later, they turned it over on downs. But they've got Washington maybe out. They're on their third kicker of their year. So going back to the fumbles they had, 4 lost fumbles, that's the 7th time in 16 games under Scott Frost, and the 3rd time in 4 games this year that they've had 3 or more turnovers. So there's still some things that they have to iron out, but all in all, they broke their 8-game road losing streak. That has to be a decent sign. So
Ace has a report.
But they're all chasing.
Ace has a report on the state of the schedule next week.
So there were going to be 2 ranked versus ranked matchups.
Oh, no.
One was Virginia at Notre Dame.
Oof.
And the other was Washington State at Utah.
Oh, my gosh. Did anybody stay up for that Washington State game?
No, but I did watch the highlights this morning, and I still feel like I'm on drugs.
I did not stay up that late for the game either. When I saw the score this morning, I assumed there were at least 6 overtimes. There were no overtimes.
No overtimes. 6 turnovers for Washington State.
They jammed 2010 Michigan-Illinois into a regulation football game.
Wow.
Pac-12 after dark, everybody.
Hey, man,
that's
where you got
to
be.
That's a lesson to me. Never go to bed when there's still Pac-12 action going on.
You can watch the Big Ten at noon or the Pac-12 at midnight.
All right.
I chose so poorly.
Jamie, goodbye.
Hey, have a good one, guys. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the MGO podcast. I am Ace Ampender, along with Brian Cook and Dave Nasternak. We do this for fun.
Who's got it better than us?
No!